Dear Vice-Rector, dear colleagues, dear Christina. Art is beautiful, said Karl Valentin, but is much work. The same holds for philology. Now this should not be beautiful only, but also useful. We have come together to present and to provide further planning for a project that cannot prove its usefulness unless it should be completed. Could we hope to attain the age of Noah? This could be ensured, but let us be humble. Let us rejoice, nevertheless, because this is a joyful day. If we did not dare have dreams, we should dwindle in sorrow. But indeed, this may be a dream coming true. When I came to Pisa in 2003, at the invitation of Professor Del Punta, to give a talk on Averroes, I was able at the same time to assist in the presentation by our colleague Christina D'Ancona of the first volume of Herr Plotino Greco-Arabo containing the treatise La discesa dell'anima dei corpi, Eneas 4.8, along with a corresponding Arabic version known as the Theology of Aristotle. This was the result of a long-term study of the Neoplatonic sources, Greek, Arabic, and Latin, ranging from the original works of Plotinus and Proclus and the commentary literature of Athenian and Alexandrian Neoplatonism, down to the Arab versions, to the Arabic versions and commentary paraphrases and their Latin offspring, work done in collaboration with scholars from France. To the name of Father Henri-Dominique Saffré, I must join in deep regret that of Alain Segond, who passed away a few weeks ago from Germany. And here again, I have to commemorate a colleague who passed before his time, the late Matthias Baltes, and of course her own group of colleagues and disciples in Italy, among which I will just mention Dr. Concetta Luna, whom Christina used to call her alter ego for her work, sharing her work in the field of Greek Neoplatonism. Even before, there was enough to be proud of. But if it wasn't for Christina's indefatigable efforts and her unfailing optimism, aiming high and thinking big, we would not be here. We, that is, a work group preparing a full critical edition of the Arabic Plotiniana, a group of computer scientists under the aegis of Professor Bozzi, envisaging for the first time fully functional procedures for digitalizing and analyzing Arabic texts for the purpose of indexing and content analysis, and our own laboratory put up at Bochum in Germany of the Greek and Arabic lexicon, revived and resuscitated after its first conception 30 years ago and now financed by a generous grant of the European Research Council. I will try to give an idea to all those not immediately connected with the project of what it is all about. The reception of the rational sciences, scientific practice, discourse and methodology into Arabic Islamic society went forth in several stages of exchange with transmitted of Iranian, Christian Aramaic and Byzantine Greek learning, translation and the acquisition of knowledge from the Hellenistic heritage went hand in hand with the continuous refinement of the methods of linguistic transposition and the creation of a standardized technical language in Arabic, terminology, rhetoric, the genres of instruction, demonstration, more geometrico, first introduced by the paradigmatic sciences, mathematics, astronomy, mechanics, and adopted by philosophers embracing the cosmology of Neoplatonism, was complemented and superseded by the methods of syllogistic demonstration. In face of the establishment of philosophy as a demonstrative science, claiming absolute and universal knowledge, even the hermeneutical disciplines of grammar, theology and law, dependent upon analogical reasoning from the scripture, took up logical definition and deduction. The Islamic philosophy instituted by Al-Farabi and Ibn Sina, answering questions of Muslim theology, resulted in the integration and unification of scientific and philosophical discourse and after Drosus, competition and dispute led the adoption of the language of demonstration by the scholasticism of later schools of law. The language of philosophy and the sciences illuminates the links, or even constitutes the common denominator between the intellectual traditions of the Mediterranean world, the Near East, North Africa, Southern and Northern Europe, between the peoples who received, revived, and transformed the heritage of ancient Greek. After the decline of the ancient languages of erudition and commerce, the translators created a common system of reference which until today renders possible, in spite of all protestations of autonomy and otherness, a dialogue over the essential questions of the human condition between speakers of the Indo-European languages, Romance, Germanic, Iranian, and Arabic, between Jews, Christians, and Muslims. A dialogue where the words may differ, but in the context of science and its conventions, continue to convey the same concept sustained by a coherent tradition of teaching and textual transmission. From its first reception into Arabic Islamic society, the sciences and philosophy as the science of sciences are presented as demonstrative science and as such defend their absolute claim, authority yielding power. What is a far-reaching and lasting consequence, and what even today provides a sense of unity among the civilizations emerging from two millenniums of intellectual activity around the Mediterranean, is the rise of demonstrative science as a safeguard of intellectual authority, eclipsing the nominal authorities of the ancient schools. Despite of contemporary protestations of spiritual identity and intrinsic otherness, I would like to insist on this common ground and this common language. The science of demonstration, being paradigmatic or syllogistic, was the approved safeguard of certainty, علم اليقين. And through this, and here Plato joins Aristotle in time-honored harmony, the only way to ultimate happiness. Historians of philosophy tend to think about philosophies rather than philosophy, differences rather than unity, change rather than continuity. Cultural critics, in turn, oppose the claim of one tradition, one civilization, one religion, of whichever side of the Mediterranean or of the Atlantic to represent universal values. Traditions and schools of thought which would seem to support such unity are denounced for being vestiges of cultural hegemonism, of colonialism, or of abasant acculturation. I would like to consider not only a point in history supposed to represent Islam, Arab culture, the East, or the West as a whole, but also traces of continuity based on a millennium of epistemic community, if such a community could be shown to exist. The religion, erudition, and science of Islam grew on the soil of the Hellenized Mediterranean. From antiquity to late Hellenism and its reception to the Arabic Islamic milieu, from the teachers of Baghdad, Cordoba, and Isfahan to the Latin readers of Avicenna and Averroes, philosophy moved between the two poles of Platonism and Aristotelianism, the paradigms of the one and the many, the essence in being, and the being of the essence in actual substances. In this way, the rational sciences, scientific pragmatism, and the global Weltbild of Gnostic religion were imbued with the wisdom of Plato, transmitted, it is true, under the guise of Aristotle, theology of Aristotle, of Pythagoras, and some other prosopopoeia of the ancient schools, and giving his name to irrational, nay, occult texts of the subculture of Oriental Hellenism. And they were renewed under the aegis of Aristotle's demonstrative science. From Plato, his Arabic heirs inherited the conviction that contingent being and sensible phenomena cannot convey but an imperfect perception of the true essences. And further, that the final goal of human existence, resulting in true felicity, can only be achieved by rational activity orientated toward knowledge of the good. From Aristotle, that is to say, from the Aristotle of the Peripatetic, and Neoplatonic commentators, they took the conviction that the gap between the phenomena and the essences can be bridged by demonstration based upon the first premises implanted in the human reason from its first inception and helped by the agent intellect in the human reason from its first and helped by the agent intellect, the famous metaphysical gadget derived from Aristotle's De Anima and identified by the Neoplatonists with Plato's Demiurge, the presence of the divine and unchangeable in the human mind. This essence of Platonism was transmitted, or rather, was living on in the ethical, propedeutic, and the mathematical arsagogia of the late Hellenistic schools, evident from the extant testimonia of the curriculum, which is just a quotation from Elias' lectures on the Ars Virgi, just an excerpt from the complete program of the Alexandrian school, evident from the extant testimonia of the curriculum of the school of Alexandria and its Arabic offshoots. Its object was explored throughout on the basis of the works of Aristotle, Aristotle's logic, physics and metaphysics, the doctrine of being qua being, the philosophical program, the textual basis, the general systematic framework, and above all, the scope and aim of philosophy in the early schools of rational science in the Arabic Islamic milieu were founded upon the teaching of the late Hellenistic schools. The most important change was the shift from Plato to Aristotle as the principal nominal authority of intellectual activity and of ethical guidance. In the schools of Athens and Alexandria, the principal task had been the exposition of the philosophy of Plato. This philosophy was understood as the summum of a coherent system. The exegesis of Aristotle, the master of demonstrative science, was deemed a necessary prerequisite for comprehending the ultimate truth. While Aristotle was thus put into the service of an ulterior ideology, this attitude presupposed a basic concord between the two philosophers. The teachers of the Academy and of their Alexandrian successors fervently tried, on the other hand, to harmonize the divergences and contradictions within the Aristotelian corpus, and on the other hand, to reconcile the peripatetic ontology and epistemology with the cosmology and theology of Plato and the framework of Plotinus's Neoplatonism, systematized by Proclus and his successors. The authority of leading to true philosophy as a way of life, the only way of life leading to perfect happiness, rests with Plato, the Platonic one, and first good is the highest object of knowledge, and attainment of this knowledge is the way to true happiness. With the Alexandrian commentators of Aristotle, the unique principle pursued in the philosophy of Aristotle is none other than the Neoplatonic one. In the face of the society and of the institutions of the Christian Empire, the authority of Aristotle, sustained by this harmonizing tendency, grew all the more important. Even so, the Platonic theology continued as the religion of intellectuals. Under the name of Aristotle, we had become the master of demonstrative discourse, in harmony with the tradition transmitted and elaborated by the commentators, enhanced by the Gnostic elements of popular religion. Now the Respublica, this is the political legacy Neoplatonism took from Plato, the Respublica is the place where humankind must make its departure towards ultimate bliss, and in the final analysis toward the assimilation to God. The life of humans in the political community makes way to the preparation of the rational soul while in its bodily existence to conform to the intelligible principles of the celestial and physical hierarchy guided by the philosophers who imitate the divine forms and assuming political functions, shaping the community in accordance with the divine paradigm. In extremis, however, the philosopher would complain that the Vita Philosophica was impossible in a depraved city, as Simplicius did after the closing down of the academy by the Christian emperor in his commentary on Epictetus and Caridian. Ethical texts from the gnomologia of ancient wisdom, but also texts from the standard propedeutics of ethical instructions surviving great numbers in the Arabic tradition, such as the Pythagorean Carmen Aurum, the golden poem, along with its Neoplatonic commentaries. What Christian and Muslim Arabs received by the hands of practicing physicians and scientists and the translators engaged by scientists, as well as by administrators and notables of the Abbasid state, was not a unified corpus of doctrines, but linked up with a substance of specific philosophical and scientific teaching. The gnomological tradition of popular ethics, of Christian and also Iranian Hellenism, providing models of political ethics and manuals of the ruling art and its ancillaries, and just an example, the teaching of Iskandar, of Alexander the Great, being known as in philosophy as the disciple of Aristotle. Collections of populist philosophy and collections of the dicta of the sages, like in the famous Adab al-Falasifa of Hunayn ibn Ishaq, of which we now here have a very nice manuscript from the Munich collection. Then again, the Gnostical religion informing the occult sciences of alchemy and astrology, linked also with the dialectic of Christian dogmatic in apologetical and polemical discourse. And then, on the other hand, we have the Galenism of the learned physicians, transmitted by the physicians, as also Galen's own logic, anthropology, and ethics, competing with philosophy and pretending to teach an ars vitae. In consequence, the philosophic or non-philosophic character of medicine, being a techne, an art, Arabic sina'a, or, on the other hand, episteme, a true science, Arabic alm, was under dispute in apology and polemic from both sides. And then the mathematician, of course, in the medical tradition we have Dioscorides, the great teacher of the pharmacognostic knowledge of antiquity, who is, well, shown to us like a philosopher teaching his disciple, but of course on the model of one of the medicinal plants he is cataloged in his Materia Medica. And then we come to the mathematicians. The mathematicians and astronomers and the professional astrologers or geometers, who again pretended to universal competence, no less than the physician, but on a different scale, on the authority of a time-honored tradition and of an eminent ancestry in the history of philosophy itself. The mathematicians were Platonists and Pythagoreans in the tradition of Nicomachus, Proclus, and Iamblichus. But the astronomers cherished the Aristotelian propedeutic and above all the Aristotelian cosmology, conjoined with the authority of Ptolemy. I forgot to show this as well, the basic text of geometry in an early Arabic translation in a very beautiful manuscript showing the theorem of Pythagoras in the Latin manuscript. The astronomers cherished the Aristotelian propedeutic and above all the Aristotelian cosmology, conjoined with the authority of Ptolemy. Hence, it was Aristotle who came to dominate the system of the physical world, and it was the peripatetic structure which, since being adopted by Ptolemy, prevailed in the method and epistemology of professional science. I think you're all familiar with the Ptolemaic system of planetary movement using epicycles and eccentric vectors. Later, Islamic philosophy in the Andalus led fierce criticism against the Ptolemaic system in being not strictly conforming with Aristotle's doctrine of concentric spheres and moving steadily and not in making jumps in epicycle such as this, but this is a different story. In the first instance, astronomers developed refined mathematical methods for describing physical reality in accordance with the principles of physics. The variety of intellectual traditions corresponds to the diversity of professional lines of tradition. And again, not the science, not the philosophy of the ancients reached the Arabs, but the concurring and competing schools and systems of the transmitters. The constructions of identity of the schools emerging from manifold foundations and theory are bound up with their religious origins and political creeds, and their fields of activity between market, forum, and the court. In Arabic Islamic civilization, the traditions of professional science concur and compete for primacy, on the other hand, with the clerical traditions of courteous, administrative, and legal theological expertise. These latter are challenged by the claims of philosophy as being the science of sciences, the science of demonstration, and the ideology of the rational soul. claiming supreme knowledge and supreme authority, knowledge of the one and first cause and of the supreme good authority in providing to the community of humankind the way to true happiness and salvation. The cosmology of Neoplatonism, integrated into the Aristotelian Encyclopedia and brought forward and brought into a structure of propositions and demonstrations, more mathematica, by the scholastic of Athens and Alexandria, served the philosophy sciences of the early advanced society, Akindi and his competitors, to legitimate traditional, to legitimate rational science as a superior way to establish the true creed of Athens, Tawhid, the Islamic creed that there's no God apart from the God, Allah. From Al-Kindi to the branches of his schools in 10th century in Transoxania, from the natural sciences in Jabir ibn Hayyan's alchemy to the Gnostic cosmology of the Ismaili Book of the Brethren and the Pure Faith, the Kitab Ikhwan al-Safa, the science of proportions, of arithmology and musical harmony leads to the rational soul on its way to a vision of the absolute, to the world of intellect. The cosmic blueprint of this world, depicting the progression, creation, and regression, the way to knowledge, of intellect through a cosmic hierarchy of ensouled spheres, was found in the teaching of late Neoplatonism, harmonized with the Aristotelian and Ptolemaic models of celestial mechanics. To some degree, the monotheist and creationist view of the first and secondary causes prepared in Christian Neoplatonism had seemed to reconcile metaphysics and theology, monotheist theology, that is to say. This reconciliation materialized in an interpreted paraphrase of a collection from Plotinus and Proclus, transmitted under the name of a theology, Uthologia, of Aristotle, based on excerpts from books 4-6 of the Annals, augmented by copious notes and comments, accompanied by pieces from the Elements of Theology of Proclus, the great systems engineer of Neoplatonism. This conveyed the cosmic models of procession and reversion and of participation in all being in the one and the first. But this Uthologia, according to Aristotle, was transmitted in a form simplified and made acceptable for the adherents of a monotheistic and creationist religion, a belief in a God who was both first cause and first intellect, and who had willed in time to create the physical world from nothing. Finally, both in his immediate sources and in his own philosophical paradigm, the influence of Ioannes Philoponos is prominent. The Christian philosopher of Alexandria, who in the very year of the closing of the academy had written his refutation of Proclus on the eternity of the world, and who had driven the pagan gods apostatized in the Neoplatonic cosmos for the divine heavens. Now, Al-Kindi school continued among scientists and administrators of the Islamic East, with its branches in Balkh and Nishapur, well beyond Al-Farabi's Aristotelian reinterpretation of falsafa, and eclipsed only by Avicenna's new encyclopedia. Against the universalist claims of the latter, it represented a program of harmonious coexistence between the religious and the rational disciplines. Among the characteristic features of this attitude is the apotheosis of intellect, not a subtle analysis based on the theory of the intellectus agens, but straightforward propaganda for intellectual activity as a highway to the upper world in the spirit of Al-Kindi's Gnosticism, as, for example, put forward in his treatise on the soul. Intellect is the vicegerent Khalifa of God in this world, said Al-Amiri, a grandson of Al-Kindi's in philosophy in the late 10th century, interpreting the Quranic statement that man is God's representative in this world in a philosophical paradigm. The ethical component of this hikmah, the autonomous ethics of the philosopher, who finds in the Encyclopedia of the Sciences the instruction for educating his soul toward purity and ultimate bliss, is fully developed in the Ethics under the title The Refinement of Character of Abu Ali Miskawi,
who died in 1030.
Though Aristotelian in many details of ethical categorization and substance, it is based on the same Platonic view of the rational soul and its a priori knowledge, combined with elements of Galen's De Moribus. To sum up, the readers of philosophy in his first period, who naturalized the Alexandrian Aristotle, whitewashed by Christian Neoplatonism, in the Arabic-Islamic environment were mathematicians and physicians, then a widening circle of administrators and high officials of the Abbasid dynasty and its provincial vassals. The rise of Aristotelian metaphysics and epistemology, prepared and accompanied by the translation into Arabic of the complete Organon of Logic and its Alexandrian commentaries and socialists, by the rise of the scientific and administrative elite of Islam to the higher echelons of administration, introduced a different paradigm, expounded most prominently in Al-Farabi's concept of philosophy as a demonstrative science. Al-Farabi, who died in 950 and who was the founder of philosophy in Islam as an Islamic, as a philosophical paradigm of Islam. Universals are not found in apostatized ideas, nor in the intelligible representations of such assumed entities in mathematicals. Universals are bound up with real substances, but can be abstracted by intellectual analysis relying on self-evident principles and demonstrative reason. This famous collection of the Arabic translations of Aristotle's Organon of Logic is, of course, one of the main subjects of our endeavors to research the Arabic translations from the Greek, to study the terminology of such translations in their development from the 8th to the 10th centuries, and it is most prominent in that this Paris manuscript is most prominent in that it displays the teaching tradition as it is reflected in the notes appended to the margins of Aristotle's text. In the erudition of higher administration and the courts, another process of integrating Arabic, Iranian, and Hellenistic elements, joint literary adab, erudition, through mastery of the Arabiya, the pure Arabic language, with Greek nomologia, religious hermeneutics, with practical science, excluding the philosophical paradigms in worldview and demonstrative method, and creating the first draft of encyclopedic erudition, where the Adab al-Katib, the erudition of the scribe, of the secretary, was joined with the nomologia of the Hellenistic tradition. On the other hand, in the same milieus of the Arabic Islamic administration, disciples of the pioneer philosophers, scientists around Al-Kindi, his competitors and his heirs, created the first draft of a dual canon of learning, where the secretarial arts of the Arabic Islamic community and the philosophical and scientific heritage of Greek Hellenism entered a harmonious symbiosis, such as with Abu Zayd al-Balkhi and the school spreading from Baghdad to the east. And in a final development, philosopher-jurists teaching law at the madrasa, and including first outside and then inside the law college, the rational sciences into their teaching, and transformed the old encyclopedia into a curriculum of religious learning. So far for my overview of what it is all about. I would have to say another word on our project to create a lexicon of the Greek translations into Arabic, some of them via Syriac. We are going to present some of our work this afternoon, our dictionary and the database created on the basis of our materials. Just a closing remark for those of you who won't be pressed this afternoon. It's a long story about how a terminology, how scientific language, how the instruments for treating abstract matters in a language hitherto not
adapted to treating such material, such as in ancient Arabic poetry, where the concrete natural phenomena are much more prominent than the abstractions of reason. Words and signs, as in literature and everyday usage, have their own fortunes. We cannot take their contents at face value. In each individual language, the technical term is constituted, on the one hand, by the convention of the community of scholars and scientists, participants of the philosophic, scientific, or other professional discourse. But then, on the other hand, it is embedded in a system of cross-linked connotations which differ from language to language. Language is metaphor. So is the technical term. Albeit its primary image, upon which the metaphor is based, be forgotten and ignored after the meta-meaning has come to prevail, the symbolic content will determine the semantic development of the term in its new linguistic environment. What we did since about 30 years ago in a collaboration with Professor Dimitri Gutas from Yale University is to work out, first based on many thousand card files, and more recently also based on an internet database, a Greek and Arabic lexicon, which is just one page. And this is an œuvre de longue haleine. We are now arriving at the end of letter Ba. Now, some of you may know that letter Aleph, of course, is very important and very large, but still we have some way to go until the end of the alphabet. So in order to make this material more readily available, we created a database which has been programmed, is now situated at the Berlin-Brandenburg Academy of Berlin, and we have now got through the ERC project a very good new start and are really rushing forward to put our materials at the disposal of scholars who will still find quite a few things and looking for Greek lexemes, Arabic roots, looking on the other hand, it's about the same, looking for words from a specific text, such as in this case the Testamentum of Aristotle, which is transmitted in Arabic translations in Ibn al-Nadim's fifth list of books, and then you get results according to the Greek or according to the Arabic alphabet, which then again can be sent forward through a collection of bookmarks to your own email account, so you can readily make a nice lexicon article in the way of collecting materials existent for a given root, for a given Greek word, for text taken from a specific text, or other questions which may be useful to ask. But, as I said, we hope to present this in some more detail this afternoon. This is just an opportunity to boast with what we did already. And, of course, if you look closer, you will detect that there are still quite a few things to do. Thank you.